Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel lesson for today, a young girl, a teenager, who is unwed and pregnant. She finds out she's going to have a baby. Her fiancé is considering whether or not he is going to throw her out or whether he's going to keep her. And of course, like any good virgin mother, she goes and sees her cousin. She wants to go see her cousin. She goes to Elizabeth's house. And in the moment that she greets Elizabeth, something happens. Elizabeth, who is also pregnant, that baby within her leaps, it says. It's a great word. Just leaps inside of her, full of excitement as she receives Mary's greeting. John leaps. How different that response is. The kids were perfect, by the way. They did the same thing at the 8 o'clock service, when I said, Christmas is coming, they were like, who cares? That'll change Christmas Eve. But I mean, for right now, it's like, who cares? Christmas. There's something about our familiarity with this event that comes year after year after year for 2015 years that we just seem to have lost the excitement of it. The majesty of it. When I read this story, I thought, oh my gosh, how long has it been since I leapt for joy at Christmas? I mean, for me, it's mostly, will we get the bulletins done in time? I mean, that's my chief thing. Will we have worship services ready to go? What about for you? What is it that keeps you leaping for Christmas? Or have we just become so familiar with it? Or have we become captive to something else? In the first verse of O Come, Emmanuel, we pray that we will be ransomed like captive Israel. What captivates us these days, if not the coming of the Christ child, if not the coming of the Messiah into the world? Do we ask the question, what captivates us or what holds us captive? Is it our own self-interest or the cares of the world or our wealth or our fear? What is it that holds us captive from which the Son can bring us freedom? Let's sing the verse first of O Come, Emmanuel. As Mary enters the house of her cousin Elizabeth, John the Baptist, who later will proclaim the coming of the Lord, leaps for joy. And Elizabeth says to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And she asks then this crazy question that I haven't figured out how to preach about, but she says, "Why has this happened to me? What is it that I have done to deserve this honor that the mother of our Lord comes to me?" The question of Elizabeth is a question of wisdom. she asks the question that perhaps all of us should ask as we grow in our own wisdom. Why is this happening for us? What have we done to deserve this honor? And what wisdom will grow out of it? I had a wisdom moment this year when that whole debacle about Starbucks wanting to destroy Christmas. Y'all follow that at all, right? So Starbucks decided to do red cups, but they left off the elves. And so, or whatever it was, Christmas trees, elves, various and sundry very Christmassy things, right? And there was this blow up on Facebook saying, well, clearly Starbucks is to destroy Christmas. Because a plain red cup just doesn't do the trick. And then even worse, when they put out the polar bear cookies, did you hear about this? The polar bear cookies have a red bow around their neck, which if you squint really well and have kind of a warped personality, then you can say it looks like they cut the polar bear's throat. They're out to destroy Christmas. So in this raging debate on Facebook, which in my monthly troll on Facebook I saw, I noticed that my niece, who won't ever hear my sermon, so I don't have to worry about it, she's a professed atheist. She's no more an atheist than I am Hungarian, but it's still, that's what she thinks she is. That's fine. Maybe she will be. Maybe she is. But in response to all of this whole big hullabaloo, she said, well, you know, Christmas is for everybody. And I thought about that for a second, and I thought, no, it's not. It's a Christian thing, right? I mean, this is about Jesus Christ, Christ Mass. But it was a lovely sentiment. It's for everybody. And then I thought a little bit more about it. And I thought my pesky atheistic cousin was right. Maybe part of the wisdom we need to learn is that Christmas is not ours. Do you have a question or a comment? This is a precious moment. He raises his hand and his mother says, oh gosh. If it's any help to you, my mother used to do the same thing. Okay? Preach it, my brother. You're right. And so the word we do need to hear, or the word that we have to share, is that Christmas is about God coming into the world in a new and exciting way. And I would have given anything to have a camera to take your mother's picture as she stood there with this, I call it the mom look. And in her head, she's saying, please don't let him say anything I will regret. But you're right, wisdom. You just said wisdom. Wisdom. And the wisdom is that, in fact, Christ came not just for you and for me and for the Lutherans and the Catholics and the Episcopalians and the Baptists, but for the world. And that's the wisdom maybe we need to learn, that clearly Elizabeth understood when she said, and blessed is she who believed that there would be the fulfillment of God's promise. Let's sing verse 2. In the third verse, we pray to the God of might. We pray to the God whose strong arm will come. And Mary, when the baby leaps in her womb and Elizabeth praises her for who she is, what's Mary's response? She sings. Well, actually, she does a poem, but later it was set to music, and so we'll say she sings. In fact, today she sings three times, twice by the choir, once in the reading. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my Savior. For God has looked on me, a lowly servant. Maybe part of what we learn is that the power of God isn't the power we expect. Think about the fact that God does not send God's Son into the world accompanied by a legion of armed angels riding a golden chariot there to wipe out all of the sinners and the bad people. God does not come in that way. Somehow power looks different. Power for God comes in a virgin, a teenager, a poor girl. Power comes in a child who will be born more or less into poverty and who will die on a cross. So that Mary will say, the arm of the Lord is filled with strength, scattering the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. And God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. The power of God coming in the womb of Mary is not the power that we expect, but it is the power to transform the world. Let's sing the third verse. The Gospel of Matthew begins with the genealogy of Jesus. And in the fourth verse of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, that first line, O Come, O Branch of Jesse, reminds us that this child that is in Mary's womb, who John the Baptist leaps to hear word of, comes not just for us now, in this moment. It begins, as it says in the Gospel of John, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and it existed even before time began. And we can look back at how that root of Jesse is intertwined with the generations that came before us. We needed to fill out a piece of paper for the state here recently at the church, and it asked, what is your year of incorporation? We don't know. So, of course, Fred, our attorney, knew where to look. And so we got on and we looked and it said incorporated January 3rd, I believe it was, 1990. We reach back quite a ways. And then even further back, over 2,000 years, the root of Jesse reaches back and intertwines together generation after generation. This day, this coming of Jesus is not just for us. It reaches also into the future, to the next generation and the generation after that. How old are you, Coco? You're 11 years old. When I first came here, you were 3. You were like, hi. And now you're like an acolyte. Look at your sisters who were not, you know, too much older, frankly. I remember the little girls running around. It's reaching out into that generation, the next generation. I know you guys are leaving in several months, but just think a few years down the road, you're going to have to be assisting ministers somewhere. Confirmation. This word of Jesus, this baby for whom John leaps in the womb, reaches back into the past and into the present, but also for the future that is unfolding and intertwining into the future, into a history that will soon come. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped Israel in remembrance of mercy. According to the promise God made to our ancestors. Jesus of Nazareth, this child, is the promise that God made to our ancestors and to those who will follow after us. Jesse's branch reaches back and into the midst of us, but also forward into the future. The question for me today, and I hope for you, is then what will that branch look like? Will we still leap for joy at the name of Jesus? Will we still have that fresh and wonderful and exuberant response to God coming among us? Or will we just lean against the wall and say, oh God, it's come around again? I wonder if we could see things like Elizabeth and like John. And leap at the sound of Christ's name. To be reborn again in our wonderful commitment to God's promise and in love with one another and the world. Let's sing verse 4.
From depths of hell your people save, and give them victory, O Lord. Rejoice, rejoice.
In those days, so long ago, Mary set out and went in haste to the Judean countryside. And there, in the house of Zechariah, she greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child within her leapt in her womb and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you. Emmanuel has come into the world, God with us, and may we leap for joy at his coming." Amen.